Welcome to the Curious Tech Podcast. This is episode 174 for June 19th, 2022, Dub 2020. My name is Obi Henning. I'm joined this evening by a slumbering cat at my chest and Devin Rizzo with a howling cat outside of her bedroom.
Yeah, I closed the door on him. He meowed and meowed and meowed. I let him in. He was content for about 2 minutes. Then he meowed and meowed and meowed and meowed, much like Sox the Cat from Buzz Lightyear.
So I take it you're going to be buying that Funko that I sent you over Telegram?
Most likely.
Looks like he has like a plushy texture to him. I haven't seen a Funko with, it says flocked. I don't know what flocked means.
I don't either.
I mean, does that mean it's like covered in a fabric, I guess? So who is Sox?
Sox is the companion robot cat. Oh yeah, flock means it's covered in a soft, fuzzy fibers. So it feels like velour or felt. Okay, wow. So it's edible.
Aww. Oh, it looks like that. This is a Funko.com exclusive, so that's funny. So where is Sox from?
Sox is a robot.
From?
I'm confused. Do you want to ruin the whole plot line?
He's in all of the advertisements for that movie, Devin. You don't have to ruin the plot line. What movie is he from?
Oh, I already said he's from Buzz Lightyear.
Okay, just clarify.
I thought you meant who did who gave it to her.
Oh, is that a plot point?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen the movie yet, so maybe I'll go see it tomorrow.
You should.
I am off tomorrow, so I could. Maybe I will. So this is the funnest time of year for me. So this is the WWDC 2022 episode. Apple announced a ton of stuff. So obviously we're not going to cover every single item because that keynote was like 2 hours by itself. And they didn't stop breathing. I'm sorry. Basically, like they didn't like give any normal human being a moment to like, you know, I mean, take a breath. It was just like boom, 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 boom. Whew. So
this is why I don't watch WWDC keynotes.
I find it better and more entertaining than Google's, because Google's like, we're gonna go randomly into left field and discuss like the search algorithm for 20 minutes, and you're like, and you just kill the momentum of your keynote.
You know, I like that because they take a 2-hour keynote. They're like, okay, you're going to talk about the search algorithm in 20 minutes. I can go to the bathroom, I can get a snack, I can respond to an email. I have time to ruminate on what you just announced. Okay, now you're done talking about AI algorithms. Okay, let's get excited for the rest of it. It's like intermission.
Maybe they should just have an intermission. And because like Apple does that by having a State of the Union. So like, they got the WWDC keynote, which is consumer focused, like a big overview, and then the State of the Union address is another 2-hour keynote with all of the code and all the fiddly bits.
Okay, yeah, I agree that that's good, but WWDC needs a break.
See, it did have a break before COVID, before they pre-recorded everything, because people had to go up on stage and talk. So, like, whenever someone was coming off of stage and they were switching topics, there was, like, that breathing room time. But, like, now that it's basically just all pre-recorded, it's a lot. It's like drinking from a fire hose for 2 hours.
Yeah, it's too much.
So I had to go back and I watched it twice this week to try to get as much as I could so that I could like congeal it down into something like a normal human being would understand. So we're going to cover the highlights, and I'm going to pull from the different updates what I think is most important in terms of like overall themes for this year for each platform. So it's not going to be like a reading from a changelog. That's the goal. So we're going to go in keynote order. So the very first thing that came up was iOS 16. So iPhone is like the sugar daddy for Apple. It makes Apple all of us money. So obviously it's the very first thing that they talk about every single time. And it really got the lions. Well, actually, no, I would say it got the lions here. But like it had 30 minutes of the keynote. So, I mean, for how much money the iPhone makes, they kind of separated it out for the rest of the platform. So, all right, the biggest, most like visually striking feature that most people will notice come this fall is the brand new lock screen. So, the Androidification of iOS continues. So Android's had this feature for like 10 years, but like Apple has like realized over the last 3 years that like, hey, people like customizing their phones. So it's been a slow march to where Android has been for a decade now, but good on them for doing it. You can do more than simply change your wallpaper. You can change the font for the time. You can put widgets on your lock screen. So like, activity and, sunset and the temperature and other kind of widgets. You can have your wallpaper changed based off of like a dynamic wallpaper from like your personal photo collection. You can have a different lock screen tied to different focus modes. So you can have a lock screen with certain widgets and pictures like when you're at work, and then have a different lock screen that's like maybe more fun and like more personal when you're at home and you're like out and about. So also they've introduced more features of like focus modes that like it digs into more parts of the operating system. So you can sort like text messages and emails by focus mode now. So you could, if you're an iOS user and you're a power user, your phone could look fundamentally different when it's at work versus whenever it's at home now, which I think is really neat. So, like, whenever I get home, my phone looks drastically, drastically different from whenever I'm at work. Like, work is, like, very information dense, and then, like, when I get home, I have, like, a super big widget that takes up, like half of the screen, and then I got a few other, like, common apps that I launch. They also have these little, like, what's called live activities now. They're, like, rich notifications that different developers can write to. So one of the ones that they demoed was, oh, hey, you're at Starbucks. Here's your order progress. Or, like, here's your upcoming Uber. And it's, like, a notification that instead of, like, a application having to send you, like, oh, hey, thanks for ordering. Oh, here's an ordering update. Hey, your drink's available for update. It's just like a card that kind of floats at the bottom that the app can push updates to without spamming you with notifications.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Also, they've realized that people like big phones, and the notifications start from the bottom now, which I have mixed feelings on, but we'll see how it goes. I guess it makes more ergonomic sense when you think about it, and there's a big rumor that there are going to be two big iPhones this year. So, two, like, max-size iPhones. So, like, many more people are probably going to have gigantic phones going forward in Apple land. So, it probably makes more sense to have that, the notifications reachable from the bottom. So, also, just, like, lots of little fixes. So, like, they took some cues from, like, WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger and Telegram that you can unsend messages and you can edit messages. Finally, so you can unsend a message or you can edit a message up to 15 minutes after you send it. Also, their powerful live text feature now works with video. So, like, if you're watching like a coding You know what I mean? Like, just say you're watching a coding video, like a tutorial on YouTube. You can like copy and paste the text from the YouTube video into your notes if you want to. Yeah, so like
That's actually cool.
live text works for video and stills now. Also, you can just like grab, I can't remember what they call it, but basically you can like, since Apple's gotten really good at like object detection, you can grab objects out of a photo, like a Photoshop lasso, and drag them to another app now.
That's nice.
So you'll be able to like t effectively turn Pixel into stickers for any application. Finally, after years and years and years, they have a shared iCloud photo library now. So it's very granular though. So like if you wanna, if you trust your loved ones, you can share every photo that you take to their library. But Apple has a number of other controls, including like you can go, hey, only share photos of like my cat or photos of my child to the share library, or like, oh hey, we're at a wedding event. Everyone that I share this album with, any photo that I take while I'm at the wedding, just go and throw that into the shared album or the shared library based off of geolocation.
Snifty.
Yeah, so like if you like go on a trip with a significant other and like y'all don't really want the shared photo library most of the time, but you're like going on a road trip somewhere, you could turn that on for the week and all the photos that y'all take as y'all go will work together. Interesting. Apple is getting it is introducing a new pay later feature in Apple Pay. So it's kind of like the little PayPal pay it later thing.
Really don't understand the hype about those. Like, there's Klarna and PayPal and Afterpay, and now Apple's doing it too. Like, I could see that being really dangerous, considering Apple products are very expensive.
The Apple one is limited to $1,000.
Okay, that's good, but still.
Before you were born and before I was born, there was a thing called layaway. And it seems like anytime there's an economic downturn, the concept of a layaway comes back. So
What is
this
a
is based.
layaway?
A layaway is you go and buy something from a store, and the store holds on to that while you make payments on that thing for a couple of months until you pay it off. So it breaks down, so, like, you know, I mean, like, hey, I want to buy a PlayStation 5. Walmart has the PlayStation 5, and I'm going to pay it off for a couple of months and then interest-free. That way, you know, I mean, I can pace out payments, and also, like, the thing will eventually be mine.
But the store held on to it instead of you having it?
Well, traditionally, that's how it works with the
See, that
newer
sounds like
system.
a better idea. It sounds like a
Yeah.
lot less dangerous situation.
I kind of like that physical. There's no way for Apple to just hold on to random items, so obviously that's not how this thing works. But like, I did like that aspect of to it, of like, you definitely had to pay it all the way off, and then you could go get whatever object that you had reserved.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like a cool idea.
I think Amazon has Amazon layaway now. I don't know if it ships to you until you pay it off.
When was this a thing?
Oh, in the 80s and beforehand. It went away
Oh,
in like the
okay.
early 2000s.
Okay. I was like, I've definitely never heard of this.
That's like how my parents would pay for Christmas, is they would get all the Christmas items and put them all away, and then over a couple of months before Christmas, they would pay everything off, and then it would be ready by Christmas. So,
Makes sense. Sounds like a really good idea.
I like that feature because it helps diminish like my buyer's remorse with things.
Your buyer's remorse is just ridiculous, though.
So, like, yeah, my buyer's remorse is the most ridiculous thing, but it is who I am, so it helps me not feel as guilty. So
I just absolutely cannot wait for you to buy a pair of headphones from Apple, and then we go through this cycle over and over again.
Maybe one day. Things are a little tight right now. So, yeah. Other than that, those were the big highlights for the iPhone. Not, you know, I mean, nothing groundbreaking, just like tons and tons of little features that I'm sure we will talk about later, like down the road. Oh, yeah, you can use your iPhone as a pedometer now. Well, you always have been able to, but the activity app works if you don't have a Apple Watch, so.
Is this point, who doesn't have an Apple Watch? If they have an iPhone?
Actually, the biggest number of... the biggest customer that Apple goes after are iPhone users who don't have Apple Watches. So... That's one of the reasons they haven't brought the Apple Watch to Android, is the potential market for iPhone users without Apple Watches is still bigger than Android, so. Android's a bigger overall market, but the amount of Android users who would pay a premium for an Apple Watch is kind of small.
I would pay like $1,000, probably up to $1,000 for an Apple Watch.
Yeah, well, but I also think, though, that, like, a lot of Android users would prefer something that's more native to their platform, so I think there's a little bit of resistance, so. Yeah, anyway, speaking of watchOS, they're finally killing support for the Series 3, which, makes me so happy. It makes me so happy. And that makes me sound like a bad person, but like the Series 3 should have been killed 2 years ago, and they're still selling it. And for like the last 2 years, it's really held back the entire Apple Watch platform. So as I start talking about these features, a lot of these features require the newer hardware and the bigger screens. So that's one of the reasons I'm kind of happy that they're finally sunsetting the Series 3 watch, because like it's really underpowered, the screen is really small compared to the new watches, and it doesn't have anywhere near the sensors. So now that they're not having to support that, the newer watches, basically the 4 and up, are getting a really big update this year. So because developers on Apple aren't having to split their time between like two complete, almost completely separate platforms. So, anyway, the Apple Watch now has, like, triathlon detection. So if you're one of those crazy people who do, like, the biking, running, swimming thing, the Apple Watch can now automatically detect as you switch workout types.
Interesting.
Yeah, so if you're doing one of those races, like the triathlon, like, you just can start your watch and just go. It'll detect whenever you're swimming and whenever you're biking and running and vice versa, so. I've always wanted to do one, but my feet are garbage, so I could do the swimming and the biking, but the running would absolutely wreck me, so, yeah, sadness. So, anyway, it looks like a cool feature. The Apple Watch is also going to be getting deeper, proper sleep tracking now. So, it'll tell you, like a lot of third-party applications, whenever you fall into, like, the different, like, types of sleep, like, REM sleep and all of that, and kind of chart it out for you so you can actually see, like, how good your sleep was. So, beforehand, they didn't really do that. You would have to get a third-party application to do that detection. If you have diagnosed AFib, Apple Watches with the AFib sensor will basically give you a history, because it ends up that if you are diagnosed with AFib, a lot of the time your doctor wants you to keep up with that. So it'll start charting it, and then you can send it to your doctor now as a way, like basically it allows you to keep you and your doctor to keep up with that now.
That's awesome.
They've gone and redesigned a whole bunch of watch faces. So since they don't have to support the smaller screens now, you can see in that Verge article in the show notes, Devin, lots of watch faces now. And those are a mixture of new and old watch, I mean watches that are coming. Let's see. Also, iOS as a whole, I'm sorry, the iPhone and the Apple Watch now have a medicine tracker built into it. So it'll remind you to take whatever medication that you have. They've partnered with like a health partner that you can actually scan your medication bottles with your iPhone, and it'll map everything out for you, and it'll even warn you about different types of drug interactions as well. So it'll.
Okay, how come Google can't do that?
I don't know. It's Apple's working with a health provider to do all that. I mean, the health provider, it's like a database that they're pulling from. So.
Again, why can't Google do that?
Maybe they will eventually. They're just getting a watch working later this year.
Assuming they get it working.
So the medication feature works if you have an iPhone or and an Apple Watch, but you, I'm sorry, it works regardless if you have an Apple Watch or not. So if you just have an iPhone, you can keep track of what medication you've been taking. Let's see. Oh, lastly, if you are a Fitness Plus subscriber and you don't own an Apple TV, if you AirPlay your like if you do AirPlay or like to like a Roku or a smart TV, your on-screen metrics will show up now on the smart TV, which they didn't do in the past. So, yeah, just lots of little health features, especially if you're a runner. They got some new watch faces. They have one called Playtime, which I don't like, but I think Devin does.
Which one is Playtime?
It's the one with the weird, like, numbers with feet, and they go to sleep when you don't look at them.
Oh, those are, that's adorable.
It's so strange. I am looking forward to the oh sorry a couple I'm sorry other watch faces. The one of my favorite watch faces from is getting a complete redesign. It's the astronomy watch face. So it's like way more dynamic, and it like zooms into Earth or the moon or the solar system. It has like all of these cool like dynamic shots. It's like an Apple TV screensaver on your wrist. So that's been like one of my favorite watch faces since the very first Apple Watch, and I'm happy it's getting updated. The portrait watch face does not require portrait mode photos anymore. It'll take any photo and use computational photography to superimpose the time for you. And it also supports pets. So I'm totally gonna have a portrait mode watch face of nothing but Albie. So yeah, and just. Lot yeah, lots of little updates for the watch, but solid updates. So, oh, all right. macOS Ventura got announced. Largely, it's a lot of like productivity like base features, so they'll be appreciated. It's nothing earth shattering. It does, unfortunately. They're being a little aggressive with the cutoff this year. You have to have a 2017 Mac or newer to use it because of some of the security requirements. I think they're aggressively trying to kill my personal laptop, but I was looking at buying a new computer anyway. I'm still moderately annoyed by that, but keep in mind you need a 2017 Mac or newer to run Ventura. So the most visible feature is the new window management system called do 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 do. Oh gosh, what is the name of it? I can never remember the name. Stage Manager. So Apple has several paradigms for Windows management, and it seems like different people like different ones. So stage manager, like it will try to like arrange your windows into like these little spaces for you that you can kind of organize, and it kind of puts little cards on the left. I thought it was weird, but the more I've seen in action, the more I think it'll be interesting. So it looks a little bit more intuitive than like virtual desktop for some people. So we'll see. It makes it consistent with some of the stuff coming to the iPad. But other than Stage Manager, Apple Mail is getting some features that was introduced to Gmail like back in like 2005. But I'm happy about that. So you can do undo send and mail. Search is not going to be hot garbage anymore, which has been the bane of my existence as a Mac user for a decade now. They now have a feature called Passkey. It's that new initiative that they are working on to kill passwords with Google, Microsoft. I'm sorry, Google and Microsoft. So, like, instead of having to have a password for a device, you have a passkey, and it's stored securely on the device or any devices that you tell it to sync with. And you just simply don't have to remember a password. So, just kind of like working towards the passwordless future, which will be nice.
That
That
will
future
be
is up.
nice and much more secure.
Yeah,
And
passwords need to die.
hopefully that will be the end of the era of little old ladies, not even little old ladies, more of like older Gen X and above. How do I log into my new iPhone?
We'll see. I hope it works. I sincerely hope it works. I have to, that's the bane of my existence. So, anyway, they have the shared iCloud photo library. They have this new feature called Continuity Camera, which is really cool, that you can turn your iPhone into a webcam. So, you can stick it on the back of a Mac or on a tripod, and it will use all three cameras on the iPhone as a webcam.
Very nice.
Including the ultra widescreen. So it uses the ultra widescreen as like a above view to turn the iPhone into like a document camera. So like you can like have something like near your keyboard and like demo stuff over the ultra wide camera. Which I think is just wild, and I totally missed that whenever they first announced it. They got FaceTime handoff, so you kind of like Microsoft Teams or actually I don't know if any other one does that. But if you're talking on your iPhone with FaceTime or your iPad, you can swap devices now. You don't have to stick with whatever device you store the FaceTime call on. The clock and weather app is coming. You can lift subjects out of images. Like all of the a lot of the photography features from like that you can like right now on the iPhone, I can search for text, and whenever I search for text with Spotlight search on my iPhone, it will even search the text and images on my phone. The same thing will be happening for the Mac now with Spotlight. So if you take a picture of like a receipt and it's in your photo library, you can just start typing a Spotlight search and it'll search your Mac for like documents and even text and photos now. Sorry, the merge website is lagging. But yeah, that's Mac OS Ventura. Not too big, nothing too big. They did their yearly pitch for games. They showed Resident Evil 7 Plague on a Mac. Cool. Don't know if it'll ever mean anything. They do that every couple of years. They get really excited about gaming on the Mac, and it just never pans out. But I don't know. Apple Silicon's really fast, and people are making games for the iPhone and the iPad now. So maybe that means the Mac will be getting some games. So also a Continuity Camera. It has center stage and studio lighting. So, like as you tilt around, the camera will follow you. There will be a Belkin like MagSafe adapter, but also there is already like a 3D printed mount that you can print if you have a 3D printer as well. So, not officially from Apple, but yeah.
You know, maybe Apple should pull a Ford and just have a supported official list of 3D printable accessories.
I mean, they're not gonna do that, but like, they don't do anything to stop it. So, and Apple users love building crap all the time. So, there's gonna, I assure you, there will be a super big environment for new accessories. So, also system-wide live captions that we got, we announced that a couple of weeks ago. So, all right. The big, in my opinion, probably one of the bigger announcements, and they saved it for last, was iPadOS 16. The big takeaway feature from this is if you have a, sorry, if you have a M1 iPad, you can run Windows. I'm sorry, you can run applications with Windows now, like floating Windows. If you don't, you don't get that feature. There are complicated computer science. Well, there are complicated chipset reasons why they're not doing that. I could talk about it, but it will probably put Devin to sleep. Just if you want Center Stage, I'm sorry, Stage Manager, you gotta have an M1 iPad. Just keep that in mind. So, but also it does work with external monitors now, so you can plug an iPad Pro in and it will run applications in floating Windows just like a Mac. So, you know, I mean, dual display support, you got center stage, you can run like I think eight applications at one time across both screens. So, it'll be interesting. I'm really excited about this feature. I don't see using center stage on like my iPad screen itself because I have the 11 inch, but like I think it could be really cool to use it like an iPad and then come home and plug into my big 27 inch monitor and continue whatever I've been working on the go on my really big screen with multiple windows and all of that. So,
All
right. Well, that would be a reason for you to get the
it
iPad
would be.
Pro. So, yeah. It's interesting. It's significant because like it, Apple's finally like kind of like letting unshackling the iPad now and letting it like more directly compete against Mac OS. So it'll be interesting over the next couple of years to see the two of them kind of butt heads to, and with different features and whatnot. So there were a lot of features added for in collaboration. So Apple doesn't really have like a work chat competitor to like Teams or Slack, but it seems like they're building a lot of those kind of features for like a smaller business into like their core applications. So particularly like Messages or like Pages, Keynote, and Numbers. So that you can be working together on a document with different people, and you get Google Docs like real-time collaboration. You can hit the little messages button, and you can swap over to like a messages thread of the people that are working on the document together, and it'll put a little link for the document. You can jump into like a FaceTime audio call or video call, and everyone work together on it. Applications now have like a desktop class interface on the iPad in the sense of like you can like rearrange the toolbars like you can on the Mac and really customize it to be as minimal or as custom as you want each application to be now. Basically that feature is coming to Files, Keynote, Numbers, Pages, Notes, Reminders, and Safari to the point that you can have like shared Safari tabs if you're working together with people. There's going to be a new whiteboard application called Freeform that's based it's based off of the same architecture. It's Apple's version of a white infinite whiteboard, but I mean of course it's going to support like Apple Pencil and it's going to work on the iPhone and Mac and the web and whatnot, so you can be on a FaceTime call with a bunch of people and infinitely collaborating and dropping in images and documents and adding notes and whatnot. So, good for small teams. I don't know if it's really gonna scale like a Slack does, but if you're like a small business or you have like a small team within a company and y'all mainly use Apple devices, just lots of good collaboration features across the iPad and iPhone and Mac going forward. Oh, also the weather app. The iPad finally, after 10 years, got a weather app, a native weather application.
Wait, how did the iPad not have a weather application?
It hasn't had a weather application. It still doesn't have a calculator built into it.
Wait, really?
Yeah, you have to go and get an app, a calculator from the app store on the iPad. Apple's just like, basically like, what's your first application everyone makes? A weather app and a calculator app. So they haven't made it official. So now they have a official weather app.
I don't know. Okay, this may be a hot take, but I think Apple and Google should really put a maximum capacity of the amount of calculator apps on and weather apps
They
on
do.
the they do.
They
It's like
do,
if I
yeah.
go on my on the Google Play Store right now and search for a calculator, oh my God, I don't know.
Apple is like really got really aggressive, and I think Google did a couple of years ago of like, you have to like bring a lot to the table to be able to submit a new calculator or a new weather app to the store.
Oh my God, there's a lot of calculators.
Yeah, they don't like they like particularly Apple is like, we got enough calculators. You gotta like have something novel or a fun theme or some useful features if you're gonna
Ooh,
be a
I
calculator.
could get the unicorn calculator.
See, that is a innovation.
No, it's just a skin. A cute glitter calculator with Kawaii rainbow calculator with percent. It can do percent.
I literally think for every computer science major, like their first application they make is like a calculator app. Is
It
it
actually
do you,
has
are you,
really bad reviews.
well, I'm looking at the unicorn calculator Rainbow Pony. It has 4.3 out of 5 stars, and it has 120K da plus downloads.
Ooh, I could get the rose gold calculator to fit that rose gold aesthetic.
Do you want the stylish glitter calculator that I promise you's not malware? Oh, and the banner images for it is a Galaxy S8.
Ooh, the colorful calculator, where they spell colorful. Colur, capital FUL.
Oh, okay then.
Like, who are all these people that, like, these 10,000 downloads, 100,000 downloads, 500,000 downloads? How many people are downloading misspelled calculators?
Children. I don't know. iPad OS 15, it's the biggest update to the iPad in a number of years. It is not without its own controversies. Gosh, oh Devin. Do I even want to talk up do I even want to talk about the controversy with iPad OS 16?
There's controversy in iPadOS.
Yes, people are very incensed about
You know
this.
what you should do? You should get a job at Apple and pitch them. Hire me at Apple and I will lead the calculator team. Calculator for iPadOS.
I think I will get laughed out of the
Next year at
building.
WWDC, you can be the next Noval of WWDC. And you can be on screen at WWDC with your new app. and it can be calculated for iPad.
I don't think my story would be nearly as motivational as her. So.
Oh, hey, plus there's another unicorn calculator.
Plus, I don't think I can rock that Taylor Swift look like she can.
Oh, come on. You might look cute in red lipstick.
Yeah, no. That's a... She nailed that, but that would look like a train wreck on me. So maybe I could do like Country Bumpkin.
There are a lot of unicorn calculators.
There, Apple has redesigned the Apple Home app. I'll come back to that. But basically. The iPad's a computing platform now, and it's going to compete against the Mac. In the great words of, like, the Godzilla movie, let them fight. It's going to be, like, Kong versus Godzilla. You know what I mean? Like, one's going to, like, win every year, but, like, they're not going to, you know what I mean? You got to have that battle. The Mac is never going to replace the iPad, and the iPad... I don't want to say never, but the Mac isn't going to replace the iPad, and the iPad's not going to replace the Mac. They're both two platforms, but they'll push against each other, which will be fun, so... Oh, all right. So, rolling into some of the smaller features, but all could be very important to people. Apple is introducing a safety check in iOS 16. It's a new feature that lets you audit who has permissions to your passwords, apps, and location.
That's nice.
So it's particularly useful for people in like abusive relationships, but it includes Find My, location sharing, data, contacts, and more. You can also use the emergency reset feature, which immediately resets access for all people and apps across every single one of your iCloud devices. And it will not alert the other people that you've done that.
Yay. Plus one for safety.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a really good like standout feature that I hope gets more press going forward because it's going to be really useful to many people. So shout out to that team who did that. Oh, this story is way out of whack, but I'll throw that way down there. Okay. The Apple Fitness app will be included on iOS 16. No Apple Watch required. We mentioned that. So if you want to have, like, competitions, like step competitions with your friends, you can do that. Don't know why they changed that, but cool.
I thought that was already a feature, to be honest.
A lot of people do, but it's not. So I guess Apple Watch has hit critical mass enough they don't feel like it would compete against the Apple Watch anymore. So, all right. Unfortunately, this is the year that the iPhone 6S, 7, and the first gen SE will not get iOS 16. So they had a good run, but they were also released in 2016. So. Moral of the story is, if the device was released before 2017, you're not getting Apple software this year. You're getting collector stocking. But 5 years of like mainline iOS support, I think, is pretty good. So, we've already talked about
that. Can you actually have an iPhone 6S that was running iPhone 15, iOS 16?
I've had end users that have like successes that I've they're running the newest software and I've consulted them on buying like 13s recently. So yeah, I literally had a coworker last week who had a 6S, I think, and he upgraded all the way to a 13 Pro Max.
God.
he was like holding off and holding off. He's like, I don't need this. And he started doing all the research. He's like, holy cow, the 13 is really cool. And then he went to the Verizon store to finally upgrade his phone after 5 years. And he came in the next day.
More like 8 years.
Yeah. No, wait. 5. Because it came out in 2017.
The iPhone 6S?
Oh, wait. When did the iPhone 6S?
Yeah, it came out in 2015. That was 8 years ago.
Wow.
I just Googled it because I was curious.
I'm pretty sure it was the 6S that he had, but yeah, anyway. Then with a 13 Pro Max, and he was like, I just had to have the camera. He's like, I watched all the reviews, and he's like, this camera is so cool, and he's like, it's going to be a great video camera. I'm about to go on a really big, like, cross-country trip, and it's, I don't need to take my DSLR, because, like, I don't have any lenses for it anymore anyway. So he's like, this is going to be so much fun, so. And he's, like, using it as, like, a game machine and everything. He's a very happy camper, so. That's yes, good. I have coworkers who have upgraded from the 6S to the 13 Pro Max, so.
I feel like that would be, like, culture shock almost.
I mean, it's physically so much bigger, and the battery life, and it's faster, and it has three cameras, and an AMOLED screen, and it's a high refresh rate screen, and it's waterproof, and it has Face ID, and,
like that,
has,
I feel like
it has
that
wireless
like giving,
charging.
That
it has
like
MagSafe.
Something from the 1800s, an iPhone for the first time. Like, I feel like that's the same level of difference.
It's a lot. It is a significant upgrade. So, let's see. Speaking of significant upgrades, the new MacBook Air got announced. So the MacBook Air got its first redesign in 10 years? No. They've had a redesign since the original. I'm trying to remember when was the last redesign. It's been a long time. So everyone is very familiar with the MacBook Air wedge shape because it basically every Ultrabook maker on the face of the planet has copied it over the last 10 years. So it really defined a category. So the new MacBook Air is coming out next month with the M2 chipset. It's restoring MagSafe. It's, by volume, about 20% thinner. It does have two USB Type-C ports. It has a Courage jack on it. It comes in four colors. Starlight, Silver, Space Gray, and a Midnight. I like the Midnight. I like the Midnight a whole lot. You can get up to, I think, 2 terabytes of storage and up to 24 gigs of RAM now on it. The new M2 iPad Air is fanless and has an upgraded 1080p camera. It's got Touch ID, up to 18 hours of battery life. It's got a 8-core CPU with a 10-core GPU. It's a nice general purpose solid computer that should be a perfect computer for college.
Unless you are like engineering or computer science.
I mean, maybe some computer science people could probably get by with it. I don't know if it has the GPU. You could model stuff on it, but then what it would like it would get crushed with like rendering stuff. Like
I say, like without you a could, fan and like all that, like I don't think
if your render is more than 20 minutes long, you're gonna have a bad time on it. If you're an engineering major, get the MacBook Pro. It has a fan in it, it'll run forever.
This is not a power user's machine, but it is still a nice machine.
Like it'll do light 4K and 8K video editing. Like most people don't edit out more than about 20 or 30 minutes of video at a time for whatever project they're doing on. So for 80% of computer users, this is like A+ laptop. If you're a power user who wants more ports, wants more RAM or storage or the high refresh rate screen or a more powerful graphics card, get the Pro. But for most computer users, this is going to be like the default recommendation for me just going forward. Do you want an Apple computer? Okay, get the MacBook Air. Get the M2 MacBook Air. Especially because it has MagSafe. And I'm happy. I'm so happy MagSafe is back. Oh, all right. Apple did something we never thought they would do, and they've introduced charging pucks with multiple USB ports on them, finally.
Nice.
Yep. So, and if you want it, it's like a $20 upgrade, so it's not terrible. Other than that, the two little last bits are Apple has really redesigned the Apple Home app now so that it scales better. Because, like, the Home app's been really great if you have, like, a couple of HomeKit devices, but whenever you start really building out a home, it would get really unwieldy after a little bit. So they've done stuff like if you have cameras, it'll do a quad view by default. You got these shortcuts up top that do different categories like security and lights and climate. And if you click on one of them, it'll show you all of your lights and all of your climate for the different room. Yeah, scenes are a little bit more easier to organize. It's just a much more streamlined interface because like more and more people are oops, sorry. More and more people are getting like smart homes now. Like I know people who are building homes for the first time, and like that just comes with a home. It's like at a smart home now. So it's good that they're kind of expanding that out. So the categories also include like speakers and other sensors like water and motion sensors as well. The new Home app will work on the iPhone, Apple Watch, Mac, and iPad. If you got kids, you can now assign Apple key, Home Key to kids as well now, which you could apparently couldn't previously do. So you had children, they would have to use a physical key to get into your smart home. But most importantly, both Google and Apple are working, and I think Amazon as well, working on the new Matter standard together. So going forward, like. Theoretically, like the next version of Nest or the next version of a Amazon Echo Dot will work, whether you use the Apple Home app, the Google Home app, or the Alyosha app. So it's basically like IP addresses, but for smart homes. Like it's we're finally coming up with like a common language for a lot of devices. Like, of course, like. If it's built for HomeKit, it may have some extra features, but like, hey, probably later this fall, if you buy a new Nest thermostat that has Matter support, you'll be able to change your temperature with the Apple Home app for the very first time, and you won't have to use the Google one, and vice versa. So, Also, Matter, well, yeah, no, I'm sorry. I don't want to get confused. Thread, you have Matter and you got Thread. Thread is like, cool too because it's a lot of local processing, so like it doesn't ha devices don't have to reach out to the cloud as much anymore. So Matter and Thread, good stuff. If you're buying any smart home stuff going forward, make sure it has Matter and Thread support.
Yeah, at this point, if it doesn't have Matter and Thread support, it's probably a do not buy.
Yeah, like you're just not gonna get as many features, or you're not gonna it's not gonna It's gonna work, but it's not gonna work nearly as well as like a Matter and Thread device in terms of like speed and just everything working together. So we'll probably see a lot of stuff at oh derp 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 CES CES the TV car and smart home show now.
Yes.
So and so last little bit is Apple gave a demo of the next generation of CarPlay. So, this next generation of CarPlay works across multiple screens. Much like a Tesla, you can do multiple screens. They can be different sizes, different shapes. Automakers can can have like an instrument cluster now that's kind of themed for the car. Very much like the Apple Watch, you can customize it though. So if you want like a digit, like if you want digital gauges or analog gauges, you can do that. You can change it up. You can have these crazy like 50, 60-inch spreads across your like super high-end car, or if you have like a normal car, like a normal human being, and you have an instrument cluster, the instrument cluster can talk to the CarPlay infotainment screen. It's going to be able to integrate with like the HVAC controls, the camera,
That
like the.
is really nice looking. Like, this looks like it belongs in a Tesla.
Yeah, that's what they're going to be competing against now. So, Apple has several partners. So, oh gosh, I wish I had. Oh, here's a list. Ford, Audi, Jaguar, Land Rover, Nissan, Volvo, Polestar, Infiniti. So, and that so like the image you'll see a lot is like that super wide view, and like some of the Mercedes cars have that now. But if you have like a Ford F-150 Lightning that has like a vertical screen, it'll also support stuff like that. So it just scales dynamically depending on the car itself. They're also going to have like widgets that you can customize for your car, including like calendar, weather, your current trip status, how much charge you have left, radio, maybe like garage controls. I really like the instrument cluster up front, like behind the driver's wheel. You can customize that and kind of like arrow up and arrow down on that to display like your like map or your current call or like whatever music is playing. So yeah, this is the next generation of CarPlay. The full version of it's going to be properly shown later this fall. Cars with this new version of CarPlay will probably be rolling out Christmas of next year. The car industry is really slow, so
It
if you're buying a car right now or next year, don't get super sad because it's probably going to be another 4 or 5 years before this is everywhere. So, but this is the foundation for the future of automobiles, where we have a lot more screens in the car. So, but I really like the design of this. It looks nice, but I also love that it's like the Apple Watch that you can customize it. To make it look the way that you want to look. That if, like, your instrument gauge, if you don't want to do all the analog stuff, you can be 100% digital. You don't even have to have, like, little circle dials anymore. You can just have, like, a dashboard of, like, numbers.
I really like that.
Yes, I really like customizing my Apple Watch for, like, complications, and I'm like, it has very much like Apple Watch feels to it, so. Oh, so it'll be kind
Are
of
you?
cool. Oh yeah, just popping my neck. So,
Hmm.
but yeah, that was Dub Dub for you. So much stuff.
Too much stuff.
Yes, but all of the platforms got the Apple TV. It got some. I don't know what the Apple TV got. I
Don't
can't
know if the
remember.
Apple TV got anything.
It got a couple of things. Matter support.
Okay.
HDR 10 plus support. So if you got a Samsung TV that doesn't have Dolby Vision, you get HDR now.
Okay.
Expanded game controller support for Nintendo's Joy-Cons and the Pro Controller.
Oh, that's cool.
And what's called cross-device like connectivity. So kind of like with like the Apple Workout app, how like it syncs up with your Apple Watch and you're working out on your Apple TV and like stuff shows up on your watch and shows up on your TV. Developers can make apps for the iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch now that can throw stuff up on the Apple TV.
Interesting.
So maybe like, hey, you're watching like a sports game, and like the iPad app that you're watching it on has some like sports scores on it while the TV has the actual game.
Wait, why would you want the score on your iPad game on the TV? Wouldn't you want the
Well,
score next to it?
you would want it superimposed, but then you could have like your big charts of. You know what I mean? Like your, and maybe like a chat or something. I'm thinking like a Nintendo DS, but for your TV. So, It's real time, or a video game could use it if a video game wanted to use it. So maybe for like a party game, you could have like use your iPhone or an iPad as like controllers for the party
Maybe.
game. You know,
Well,
maybe.
that makes more sense than your sports analogy.
Yeah, I was like grasping for straws. So, speaking of sports, there is some sports related announcements, but I can't remember what was the. Oh yeah, they're having a sports hub. So like, if in the Apple News app, if you're someone who's into sports, you can track all your sports scores in the Apple News app now.
Go sports.
Yeah, Apple's getting like really it's like starting to get pretty deep into sports lately, so
I feel like Apple hired a developer that was a sports nerd. That or like no. What they did is they probably hired somebody like a jock who retired from college athletics and went into computer science for the money. Up at like Apple, and then it's like, oh hey, while I'm here, I love sports, so let's make a sports feature.
People just like sports, Devin.
No.
So Tim Cook is a big Auburn football fan. I mean, different members of the senior leadership are big, like, I mean, basketball fan and baseball fans. So like, they just did a deal to be the exclusive streamer for Major League Soccer for like the next 10 years. So people like sports, so. It doesn't interest me, but I know many people for which they will be very excited about this feature that they can follow multiple teams in the Apple News app, and like they're not gonna be it's not gonna be like the ESPN app that's like, here's so much data that if you're just like casually looking for a score, you're gonna drown in everything.
Wait, why'd you have to mute?
I didn't have to mute.
I thought you said I have to mute. What?
No. It's okay. Don't worry. Don't worry. I was going into sports land. About it, so I was lost. I was hoping you would.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Apparently, you'll be able to see if, be able to receive government notifications about weather events like tornadoes, winter storms, flash floods, and more. Oh,
Good to know.
also, Apple, for you who is sad about the death of DarkSky. Apple is releasing a new API so people can build DarkSky again.
Thank you, finally.
And the API is half of the price that DarkSky was. So all of your Android apps going forward, they'll be able to use DarkSky data again.
Oh, thank God.
So expect
I
many what?
was so sad and then pissed because they
So.
bought it and did nothing with it.
So now there's going to be an API that an Android developer can. Actually, is Carrot Weather on Android now?
Have carrots. The
Okay,
Snarky Weather robot? I've had that for years.
The Carrot Weather app is going to use DarkSky data. I guarantee you will. They will switch to this API. In fact, I think you can. Can you use DarkSky data right now, or?
Oh. Support for the dark side API will be wait. But you know, it's a WeatherKit API. Dark sky.
Oh, it's also private as well. Apparently, people are like really, really aggressive about like trying to track people with weather apps.
I love Android Police's subline. You're as beautiful as the day I lost you.
This is like the P. It's like, I mean, like the peace, like. The peace branch that Apple has like reached out to all Android users and be like, here's DarkSky, but even better because now it's so much cheaper, so that most Android like most weather apps can use it now. So, yeah, I figured that would make you happy.
Now, okay. Apple just extended the olive branch. Now all we need is to Google to say, you know what? Here, you can have inbox back.
How is that gonna help Apple users?
I don't know or care.
Oh, fair enough.
Mean, like, if you use Gmail, like, you've seen how bad it's gotten. Even you said it's a little much.
It's a lot of much.
It's a lot of much. Like, nobody needs that in their personal email. I'll admit it's somewhat helpful, albeit annoying, if like when Outlook does it for work stuff, but I don't need that in my personal life. Nobody does. Which is what part of why Inbox was so great. It had no panels, it had no tiles, it was just your email, and it was linear, and it had all the awesome bundles, which Gmail is yet to bring to Gmail.
The new Apple Mail does most of that, minus the bundling. Maybe next year we will get the bundling.
If Apple brings inbox like bundling to Apple Mail, I might say screw everything and switch completely Apple cold turkey.
I mean, it has the undo send, it has the schedule messages now, it has the follow-up feature, it has the rich links to email if you want to look at those at a glance. It has Gmail level search now. So like it's like 90% of the way there. It just has to do bundling now and then.
I love that so much. And to this day, it's been what, 2 years since we lost Inbox?
Oh gosh. Death of Google Inbox date.
Like, to this day, I still lose emails in my inbox. Because, like, oh, hey, I need to keep this email.
It's been 3 years now.
But, like, I still lose stuff because, like, okay, hey, I get a whole bunch of stuff from Outlook Draft House. Where is that ticket that I bought 3 months ago?
Yeah, like Apple Mail search has notoriously been bad and slow, and this looks like it fixes it. So if it, oh man, if it did the bundling, it would just be like chef's kiss. Because like it's Apple Mail is like just a simple user interface. It's linear like you want it to be. I mean, it's everything you want minus the bundling. So they just,
Bring back bundling.
I mean, you can
Let's
make
bring
it.
back bundling.
I mean, you can do your own bundling with smart mailboxes on Apple Mail.
It's not the same.
Not quite the same. And plus, I don't think the smart mailboxes extend to the iPad and iPhone yet. So maybe they'll bring like smart mailbox, like the next generation of smart mailbox next year.
Maybe.
So, but yeah, just lots of really good productivity features across all the Apple, lots of fun features, informational features, security of course, lots of privacy stuff. So yeah, this was a really solid year for Apple devices. So if you own Apple gear, you will be getting a lot of really useful features this fall for free.
Very nice.
All right. So, any final thoughts on all of this, or anything else you would like to add?
No, I don't think so.
Cool. So, you want to go ahead and take us home then?
Toby, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me on, oh gosh, Twitter, Instagram, and Medium at Hobie Henning. I do need to write a new blog post, so maybe I'll do that tomorrow too. Where can we find you on the internets?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at DevonJCR. And until next time, stay safe, wash your hands, don't get COVID. And until next time, stay curious.